Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with,
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Hey, catch-uppers, downloaders, podcasters, whatever you call yourself, hello to you. Welcome to the show.
Didn't we establish a name for them all earlier this week?
Possibly, but I can't think that far back. It's Thursday now. I'm well into the week. I'm stumbling towards the weekend.
That was Monday. Hey, you might be excited to know that I have an appointment this afternoon determining whether I'm back in studio with you with or without the shingles. Who knows? How's it going to go? We don't know.
I genuinely don't remember a time when you were in this studio. It feels like this down the line thing has been how we've always done it, you know?
It feels like the whole of this year I've been stuck at home making tea and coffee and putting up the feet, doesn't it?
Well, you have been, to be fair, even the days when you were here.
Even when I didn't have shingles, I was still doing the same thing.
Oh, it's been a long and winding road, but the shingle shows are hopefully nearly coming to an end. But don't worry, almost. They've still been great, if we do say so ourselves. Today, we spoke about heaps of stuff.
Yeah, I can't even remember.
If anyone listens to this catch-up every day, I reckon they will have noticed a pattern by now that we get to this point in the catch-up intro when I forget what we've done and I just always will pad like this until I remember what we've done. Like, come on, Jay, come on.
Do we have an interview today? No. We talked about some good stuff.
Do you know what? We've decided that today we're not going to tell you what's coming up and we're going to leave it a mystery for you.
Yeah, because we know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. We know. You don't. You'll find out.
Yeah, it's part of the surprise, guys. Listen up.
Alrighty, enjoy the catch up. We'll be back potentially for the final ever shingle show tomorrow, fingers crossed, or maybe for the first of the future shingle-free Josiah.
Let's hope so.
We'll speak to you then.
This is... Are we ready?
The catch up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
A man from the UK is on the run after trying to flee Australia in one of the most unusual ways, but also kind of smart as well, and he almost got away with it.
All right. Is this a bad boy story? Bad boys, bad boys. On the run, running from the law.
He is a bad, bad, bad boy.
What's he done? You know, why is he fleeing?
He could have played some Chris Isaac there as well. He did a bad, bad thing.
Oh, God. No.
Did a bad, bad thing. One of the greatest songs of all time. I love Chris Isaac.
Okay, well, if you're going to say that, then leave it to the professionals. Thank you, buddy. Oh, that's not the part I wanted. This is what happens when you don't give me enough notice for the songs that you need.
Well, you work on that. I'll work on the story. So the guy, he's from the UK. He's wanted on drug-related offences in WA, your hometown, where you're from. So he'd probably sell us some stuff to you on the side.
Okay. Well, anyway. I don't do drugs, so no.
Side reference. He's then been caught by the Australian Border Control 3 kilometres off Papua New Guinea. So he almost made it across, fleeing Australia on a jet ski.
Do you know what? That is a long way to get. That is a good effort.
You know what? Full points for trying. He's gone to, and it's not bad. You'd think, though, the border control, that'd be a spot they would man like no tomorrow, because the gap between Australia, I don't know what it is actually, but it isn't. When you're looking at a map, between the Cape York Peninsula and the Thursday Islands and Papua New Guinea, there's not that much distance between them.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to look it up now. I'm just trying to get
so it says he was found 3 kilometres off Papua New Guinea on Saibai Island, they call it, which is 150 kilometres off his launch point. So from mainland to Papua New Guinea, it's about 153 km.
What?
Not far.
That's not far at all. That is, I could row there.
Literally, you probably could if you took a bit of time.
Well, are you saying I'm not fit?
I don't think you would quite make 150 km, no. I mean, really, you do have 45, but running 150 km is a bit different.
I'm not going to lie, I was on the rowing machine yesterday for a minute and I couldn't move afterwards. So, yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, if you and I did it tandem together and went a bit slow, we possibly could get away with it. But he was caught with a bow on him, a bow and arrow. Don't know
what? Where do you get a bow and arrow from these days?
The black market, Ellie, the same place you bought the drugs off the guy for.
I've never been to the black market in my life. Where is it? Is that near Kayala or?
It's in my house, actually, funnily enough. No, he had a bow and arrow and he also had obviously some petrol on him. So he kept refueling every time he ran out. Full points for trying. 3 kilometres. You'd be pretty devastated about not making it all the way, but he almost escaped the country. Good luck to him in the future, though. He's going to do some hard time in the old cell.
I wonder what the logic was behind the bow and arrow. You know, like, does he think, oh, okay, if Australian border control come and approach me, at least I've got my bow and arrow to keep them off? Like, was he planning on spearing them through the heart? Like, I don't understand.
Well, a couple of thoughts there is either fishing. He may have been wanting to catch something with it.
Then take a fishing rod, bro.
Not a bad idea. Or he's trying to fend, like, a shark off if it comes. The other thing is he was going to the Thursday Islands. There are a few local tribes up there, but surely
not.
Well,
I feel like that's not going to be my weapon of choice if I have a jet ski to flee the country. But hey, each their own.
Next time you get done, what are you going to take? Just a gun with you? Is that what you used last night?
Yeah, I got it off the black market in Kyle, I remember.
This is.
Are we ready?
The catch up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Ellie, how's this? Parents reveal brutally honest reasons why they're now hating on their baby's name. So 1 in 7 parents have admitted to making a terrible mistake with the name they chose for the child. Interesting numbers and high stats as well. So 1 in 7 people listening don't like their kids' names anymore.
Do you know what? I completely would agree with this because I am so indecisive that I am scared to name my child because I know that a couple of years later I'm going to hate it. A couple of months later I'm going to hate it.
Well, if you are an indecisive person, yeah, naming a kid would be an absolute drag. How's this? Almost 1/3 of people have even told their child they regret choosing their name. That's 28% of people, they said. That's crazy.
My parents stand by the fact that they like my name. I don't believe it. Eleanor, you serious? Come on, Mum and Dad.
Ellie's all right, Eleanor. It's a bit 1920s, isn't it?
I can say it. You can't.
More than 1 in 10 people said their kids have told them they don't like their own names, while 1 in 5 people dislike it because it went on to become too popular with other mums and dads. Kind of like my girlfriend Mia. Her name was Mia. There wasn't many Mias when they first did. Then there must have been a TV show at the time or something because in her grade, she reckons there was 10 other Mias.
Well, I mean, I live with 2 Mias who are older than your Mia, so she wasn't that early to the curve. But
They're similar age. They're about a year apart.
Yeah, well, one of the Mias reckons that it was Leighton Hewitt and Beck Hewitt's kid. They called their kid Mia and that's what started it all.
Interesting.
I know.
Interesting stuff. So this led us to talking parents on 13, 12, 16. Do you hate your kids' names?
This reminded us of one of our friend's stories who you can actually hear on Hit Bendigo if you're driving through there. I mean, obviously listen to us until you get there, but then switch it over. Keisha.
9.9, guys.
Had to get your plug in, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what's funny is that everyone thinks that there's like a rivalry between our stations, but there's not. We're mates.
Yeah, I know. We love you. And that's why, you know, you're helping us out this morning by telling us your story.
Speak for yourselves. Yeah. I hate you guys, but tell us your story anyway.
Now, the story that you want is the one about why my mum now regrets my name. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep.
Yes. Well, as you know, my name is Keisha. Now, when she was pregnant, she used to watch this particular TV program a lot. Now, I don't know whether it was a character's name or whether it was the actress, but it was the name of Keisha. And she really liked the name. She named me that. Now, 25 years later, she's learned to regret it because it was The Cosby Show, which has been so disgraced because of Bill Cosby, and it's just changed everything.
I thought she was going to regret it just because it's a terrible name, but
Josiah! She's helping us out. She's got her own radio show to do right now. Stop it.
I do, actually. Yeah, I don't particularly suit my name, but, yeah, obviously we've learnt to regret that one from where it came from.
Did you have any thoughts to change it now that, you know, the revelations have come out?
I mean, her name's not Bill.
My name's not Bill Cosby.
Yeah, true.
But, yeah, look, I don't know. Maybe I should start going by a different name on the radio.
I think you could be a Sarah.
Yeah, or Bill. I think you sound like you'd suit Bill more.
All righty. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Keisha. Go back to do your radio show, my friend. But we want to ask you, Goulburn Valley, 13, 12, 16, be brave. Do you regret your kid's name? It's okay. We won't judge you. If you do, it's fine. Turns out heaps of people do. You know what? It's like me. I regret when I was about 6 years old, my mum got 3 little ducklings and each of us were allowed to give it a name. My brother's was called Rebel. My other brother's was called Sunny and mine was called Fluffy. I regret calling it Fluffy because it wasn't that fluffy in the end.
Who was the ugly duckling in your family?
Well,
that's a big question.
Fun fact, Rebel the duck turned out to be a goose, so it really was a rebel. Oh. There you go. Small world.
That's a fun fact.
13, 12, 16, if you're a parent brave enough to admit that you regret your kid's name, Joining us now is Grant. You can hear him through 9 till 12 on our station. Morning, Grant.
Good morning.
Now, your mum regrets your name.
Yeah, well, two names. This is my second name. So Grant actually isn't my born name, which is really interesting
really?
In itself. Okay, let's get into it.
Oh my God, I kind of want to guess what you were. Were you like a Stephen?
No.
Okay.
Gary.
Wasn't Gary either, yeah. No, I was originally named Keith.
Yeah.
After my dad. And then like I think maybe a couple months in, my dad was like, nah, I'm not doing it. That's not happening. So I regretted it then and changed it to Grant.
No.
And since then, you know how you always ask your mum, oh, why was I named this and blah, blah, blah. So I said that to my mum and she said, oh, I used to watch a television show and be really obsessed with it. And there was a guy on there named Grant and I just had to think of a name really quickly because my dad wanted it changed basically. So
yeah.
I got given Grant and I was like, so do you know, like, who was the guy? And she goes, oh, I don't know, someone hot on, like, a country practice or something. And I was like, okay, great. So
Grant Daniel.
Well, yeah. What's on your birth certificate now?
It's Grant. They hadn't filled out the birth certificate with Keith on it, so they didn't have to change that.
Keith.
Well, you're going to be listening to Keith from 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, bombshell.
Please do not pass that around.
All right, let's move on to Steph from Echuca. Steph, do you regret your kids' names?
A little bit because I've gave them nice names, but they get nicknames all the time from them. So it's like, why don't I bother?
Oh, what do you mean? What's the deal?
Well, I've got a daughter called Dominique, which is French, and no one calls her Dominique. She gets Dom. Or other naughty nicknames. And Jonathan, same thing, Jono or JW, because his name's Jonathan William.
Right. So are you the only one who uses their full names?
Yeah. Not just when they're in trouble, always.
Steph, you've got to realise, though, we are in Australia. So as a parent, whenever you're picking your kids' names, everything is shortened. So when you named your kids, if you wanted to be named by their full names, I think you need to move to France. It just doesn't happen in Australia.
So true. And she, like, Dominique goes to school with a boy who's just Ben, not Benjamin anymore.
Oh.
Not a thing.
There you go. Are you getting mad at us right now for calling you Steph and not Stephanie?
No, that one's okay.
Your mum would be mad, though.
How dare you? She could be a Stefan. Don't ever be prejudiced.
I apologise, Stefan. Thank you for your call. You enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, guys.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Married at First Sight last night. Again, I mean, I say it was an explosive episode. They're all explosive. I swear to God, I've never seen so much yelling and confusion and relationship drama as I have in the last 39 episodes of Married at First Sight.
How is that show still going?
It's coming to an end. It's coming to an end soon, don't worry. But it has provided a lot of good discussion topics for us. And the one I want to talk about at the moment is, how long did it take you to say I love you? Because last night, Jessica and Dan, they had to partake in the Honesty Box Challenge, which, by the way, I want us to partake in a little bit later on in the show. Ultimately, Jessica and Dan, if you haven't been watching the series and you don't know what's going on, they were originally paired up with different people. And then on Sunday night's commitment ceremony, they decided that they would out the affair they'd been having with each other. And the experts, the experts let them stay on the experiment as a couple, and the partners they'd initially been paired with both had to go home. So they've effectively only been together since Sunday night's episode, which in TV land would be like 3 days, right? Before that, they were just having an affair and hooking up randomly here and there. And ultimately have only known each other for about 3 weeks all up. Anyway, the Honesty Box came out last night, and this is how it went down.
How serious and genuine are you about me?
I'm definitely in love with you.
In love with me? It's nice.
Nice.
Do you love me?
I think I do.
I didn't get a strong...
It's feeling a little bit uneven.
I think
it
caught him off guard.
Of course it caught him off guard because they've only been dating for 3 days.
Do you reckon he actually loves her or do you reckon he was forced into saying it?
100%. And then even then when he said, I think I do, she was like, well, you think you do or you know you do? How are you supposed to know if you're in love with someone after 3 days?
You're in lust at that stage. There's no such thing as falling in love. Like, you may have love at first sight if there's such a thing, 13, 12, 16, but come on, you've got to know every aspect of that person before you love them.
I agree. Like, the honeymoon period has to kind of even die down before you say it, I reckon.
Yeah, well, I've got a theory, and it's very similar to what you just said. I think every honeymoon period, you want it to last forever, but let's be real, last 6 months. That's my theory. Mm-hmm. After that period's over, that's when you can start talking about the L word. So from start when you first meet them mm-hmm. till 6 months in, that's when you're not allowed to say the L word up until that six-month mark. That's my little theory and rules on that.
Is that right? So how long did it take you with your girlfriend?
Well, let's just say she was an exception to the rule. That's a good question. We met, I reckon I would have said it to her after probably 6 weeks.
Yeah. She was an exception. Same, except the 6 weeks from the official date that we started dating. But we'd been dating for like 4 months before that. And he'd been coming over to visit me and stuff.
Yeah, you had the affair for going for 4 months.
It wasn't an affair. It wasn't an affair. I wasn't Jess and Danning it. Thank you very much. We were both single and ready to mingle. Met on Tinder, whatevs. Yeah. I reckon you've got to get to know them as a person and find out. I mean, now I know him even better. Like, he's farted in front of me and stuff. So now I'm like, oh, God, do I still love you? You
know? Yeah, I was going to say, but do you think because they were exceptions to our rule, does that make them the one? Does that make them extra special? Or are we like Jessica, where we just fell head over heels so quickly
that we
just presume that's the one? So there could be people out there that might know instantly. You do hear stories of love at first sight. I would love to say that I fell in love with my girlfriend at first sight, but let's be real. She was an absolute 10 to look at. But is that true love? Not until I got to know her personality, and 6 weeks later, I feel like I do, and that's when I fell in love. So I said it.
There you go. What a beautiful story. Let's go to Jono from Wang. Jono, how long did it take you to say those three words?
1 month.
1 month. Okay, and did you get an I love you back?
We were laying in bed, and I'd been sort of trying to build up for a while, and I was a little uncomfortable, and so I sort of half chickened out halfway through. And said, I think I love you. It's not the best one. It doesn't make you look good. But luckily I was in the good books anyway. So she just looked at me and said, well, I know I love you.
Oh, that's cute. Oh my God, I just got tingles from that.
Jono, were you half cut at the time? Was she drunk or was she completely sober saying it to you?
Completely sober.
Oh, I can't believe it.
It should be sober. The first time you say it should be sober. But it rarely is, let's face it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And are you still together with her today?
Yep, still together. We just moved in together a couple of weeks ago.
That's nice. Do you still love each other?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Safe answer, my friend. Safe answer. Thanks so much for your call.
No worries, guys.
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
And I want to talk about what they did on Married at First Sight last night, because they introduced something that I've never heard of before, and that is an honesty box to improve their relationships, to get any secrets out, to really just talk about their feelings. And I thought, Josiah, you and I are effectively in a relationship, a working relationship. Let's clarify that. But maybe it's time for you and I to just get a little bit honest.
What is that song?
It's a cracker by the Chainsmokers. Come on, it's called Honest. So to help us out with this, let me introduce to the show once again, Benny the Boss.
Josiah, Ellie.
Thanks for coming on.
Are we both?
You're going to be the
Hang on a second. Can we pause this segment? Is Benny, because I'm broadcasting from home with the shingles for those that don't already know, are you on my microphone, Ben?
Mate, and your chair's very comfortable, mate.
Be very careful. That is the golden mic.
Oh, take it easy. In other words, Charlotte.
The shingle mic. So
yeah, the
careful.
Shingle mic. Don't put your mouth near it.
Yeah. Now, Benny, you're effectively the John Aiken in this situation, relationship expert. So we need you to plant some honesty questions for us.
Question is, though, firstly, two things. Are you guys going to be honest with each other?
Yes.
And second of all, if this does break out into a fight, I'm not accountable for this, okay?
You're our boss, so you're going to have to do the mediation if we are not talking to each other.
All right. Benny diverts that sort of stuff to Alan, the big boss.
Yeah, that's when it gets too hard. Alan, these two are fighting again. You can deal with it. All right, let's kick it off. Something nice and easy.
Okay, all right.
This could be a simple yes or no answer, really.
Okay, yes.
Who's going to start first?
I don't know. Or do we answer the same question?
Yeah, same question. Yeah. Have you ever...
Oh, God.
...had a dream about each other?
Yes.
Yes.
Amazing. Can you tell me right now what that was about?
Yes, I can.
What happened? Was I a good kisser?
I was at home watching TV. I've talked about this on the show before. And all of a sudden, a promo for Dancing with the Stars came up. And on it, it said, introducing our newest star, Josiah Schala. And then I got really mad that he hadn't told me he was going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
That's a classic Chaney dream, isn't it? All right, Josiah, your turn. What'd you dream about?
I was at home. I had the shingles. In my dream, I had the shingles as well. I don't just have it in real life. I had it in my dream. And Ellie was over. I don't know if you were making dinner or what you were doing in my lounge room, but then you walked out and you had a bathrobe on. And then you got to that moment. I'm not joking. You're wearing a towel. And then you went to drop the towel, and then I woke up.
So you didn't see anything?
I didn't get to see anything. It was devastating.
Oh, I'm sorry. Next time I'll drop it quicker.
Okay, this is off to a good start.
Yes,
let's
please.
Get serious between you two, though.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
What annoys you the most about each other? Now, this is the honesty box. You can't lie.
I would have to go...
Oh, whoa, a bit quick there with your answer.
I'm choosing between three.
Let me get out the scroll.
Oh, wow, here we go. I could
Look,
answer this
I'm going to have
actually.
To go with the Albania mentions.
Ooh.
It's like we'll be talking about like, oh, I drank some milk yesterday, and then all of a sudden it's like this guy pipes up with like, oh, did you know that Albania has the finest strain of milk in the Northern Hemisphere?
But Josiah, he's always out with his boys.
Yeah.
We invented milk, so there you go.
Of course you did. Josiah. Be honest. Something that drives you nuts.
I think it's whenever Ellie calls me buddy or bro or mate or dude. It makes me feel a bit like I'm friend zoned and I don't need to be. It doesn't need to be established that we're friends. We're already friends. You don't need to call me buddy for me to know that we're just friends. You can call me Josiah. You can call me babe. I know
babe,
we're friends.
Babe,
okay.
I can't call you babe.
It doesn't matter. We're friends.
Do you
friends.
Want me to come up with something new for you?
Yes, call me like your lover or something.
Tiger.
There's a vibe from Josiah. Robes and lover.
I know. Come on, Tigers.
Okay, here we go. Have you ever scrolled through each other's socials looking for the holiday pic in the bathers?
I don't need to scroll with Josiah.
Yeah.
Literally, it's there straight up. You go into his Instagram, boom, you'll see 700. So, no.
Do I have to be honest here?
100%.
Before I took this job, when I found out I was doing the show with Ellie, I went, oh, this is so awkward.
Hey, this is what you guys wanted. Ellie's actually screaming a bit.
This is awkward.
I may have gone into your old Facebook photos trying to find bikini photos.
There's only one up there.
I know, and I found it.
Hence the bathrobe dream.
Why did I just know that was the answer? That's amazing. More just I want to know, okay, is the honeymoon over between you two? And I say that because you're a new show from June last year.
Yep.
You've been together now 9 months. Would you say the honeymoon between you two is over?
I'd say he's becoming a bit more of a diva now.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Speak for yourself. I said earlier, Benny, when we there's a rule. I reckon after 6 months you lose your honeymoon. So end of last year, I reckon we lost it. So now in 2019, I think we're well into our relationship now.
So yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Honeymoon's well and truly over.
Big last question, right before we go to the break.
Yeah.
And I say this because a lot of people who know that I work with you, they ask me this question. A lot of people around the office want to know.
Not
now,
this one again.
No, if but it, this is an honesty box.
This
right?
has been like every day on the show this week. This
is the perfect
up.
Place to ask this.
And the answer's yes.
The answer's no.
If it wasn't for the show.
Yes.
Okay, because a lot of people hide behind the fact we do a show together, it wouldn't work. If it wasn't for the show, would you two, would it be different between you two?
No, I have a boyfriend who I love. Why can't people get that through their skulls?
Shingle Charlotte.
Can you refresh that question as if neither of us had partners? Why don't you ask that one?
All right, both single, no show. What's the go?
No. I know too much. I've seen too much.
I'd consider it.
Honesty box is over, that's
this
it.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
We are about to attempt to talk politics once again, so bear with us because it's not our forte, really. But this story has captivated me this week and a lot of other people around the country. In fact, I feel like it's the type of thing that could be made into a movie one day.
Absolutely.
Because the story is something that you only see in movies. Basically, a journalist from Al Jazeera, which is an international organisation, has gone undercover for not one but 3 years pretending to be a gun lobbyist and the head of the fictitious group, Gun Rights Australia. And basically, he's tried to kind of infiltrate One Nation. That's kind of been his aim of the whole thing.
Yeah, so the NRA, he was representing them, obviously from America, as an Australian member, as you just said. And so the full story was, which we said on yesterday's show, is they offered them $20 million for them to get rid of Australia's strict gun laws.
So he's done a whole bunch of things. And he was like, got undercover even to his family. His family thought that he was actually had these beliefs. So he went over to the States. He went to all these gun conventions. He spoke out on camera with all these views about how guns need to be brought to Australia and whatnot. And he's basically got all this footage of senior members of One Nation. And now it's all been exposed. So it's crazy, crazy stuff. And the latest development in the whole story is that he's got some footage of Pauline Hanson. And she is allegedly in the footage saying that she thinks that the whole Port Arthur massacre, which was the turning point for gun laws in Australia, was a government conspiracy and that it was planned to eradicate guns. She reckons that it was said, she's been quoted as saying that it would take something like a massacre in Tasmania to change the gun laws in Australia. She says that was said in Parliament before the massacre happened. And then she says that the shots were precision shots and couldn't have been carried out by someone who wasn't trained.
You know
in
what?
It.
This sounds like those people in America that say 9/11 didn't exist and there's that many conspiracies. The plane flew into the building. We've all seen the footage. We've spoken to people there. It happened. Same with Port Arthur. It happened. Shut up.
Funny you bring up 9/11 because her chief of staff, James Ashby, who was the guy who was implicated in the first leaked footage, he piped up in that conversation and said, yeah, it's like the whole September 11th thing too.
Oh, my goodness.
Also conspiracy. You know,
I've met both Pauline Hanson and James Ashby. I'll tell you something about that James Ashby guy. He's an absolute peanut and he's ruining their party. Not that they're the greatest of parties anyway. I've met Pauline. She says it how it is. She says some stupid stuff, yes, but in real life, she is such a nice lady.
Yeah, I've met her before too. And I was like, I don't agree with a lot of stuff that your party, advocates for, but you're lovely. You're a delight.
Yeah, she's so nice. Please look spine.
Yeah,
she's so nice.
She is.
But that James Ashby kid is an absolute tool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about him to really comment. I'm just telling the story how it is. But the whole undercover thing, that's what's gotten me. This is, like, I would watch this movie. This guy's given up 3 years of his life for this.
To go undercover, even to your family, to go the lengths of lobbying, going to America and for is, that is some serious journalism right there. So he's really, really wanting to take down One Nation, isn't he?
Yeah, it's kind of concerning because I suppose, like, he's been filmed with all these arguments for guns in Australia. So it's kind of concerning that he's spouted all that as someone who should be respected within the thing, but it turns out he's been lying the whole time. Does that then negate everything he's been saying? I don't know.
It goes against it. And what's even more crazy is what has happened to Pauline now. So everyone's waiting for Pauline to come out and say something. And what's happened to her? You were saying she's got something wrong with her face?
Yeah, saying she can't talk because she's had a tick bite on her face and she's unrecognizable.
Well, if that's true, I hope she's okay and recovers well.
I feel like it's got to be true because that's a weird thing to make up. Kind of like the shingles.
You comparing me to Pauline Hanson?
Yes. I just said she was a delight. So take that aspect of it, nothing else.
Yeah, we're very similar people, let's be honest.
All right. Well, stay tuned because I'm sure there's more to this story. I'm sure there'll be more leaked footage. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out, particularly come election time because we're due for a federal election in a couple of months. So it'll be interesting times.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie, solving life's biggest mysteries.
Or not.
With Josiah and Ellie.
Yeah, this is our segment where we like to solve the biggest mysteries in the world, like that girl just said. Not things like aliens in outer space, not things like the Bermuda Triangle. I'm talking about the big stuff today, and today's topic is Ellie.
Yes.
I want to discuss, can bald people get dandruff? Up there with the aliens, but very different. So straight off the bat, I'm going to ask you, do you think they can?
Okay, I'm thinking it through. Because dandruff is to do with your scalp.
So exactly. But
do you need the hair there? Like surely you can't have stuff coming off in your hair if you don't have a hair.
See how confused you are? This is why it's one of life's mysteries, Ellie.
Okay, I'm going to say no, they can't get dandruff.
I'm here with my roommate Morgan because I am broadcasting live from home with the shingles. Morgs, do you think bald people get shingles?
Surely not.
See, that's two no's. Well, I thought the same thing.
Did you say bald people can get the shingles?
Sorry, not the shingles, the dandruff. Bald people can definitely get the shingles. That would hurt. Imagine getting the shingles, being bald, and getting the shingles on your head.
Do you know what? There's your cure. If you want to cure your shingles, just shave off your man bun if bald people can't get shingles.
Well, imagine that. I'd lose all my strength.
Yeah.
Did a bit of research into this, Ellie, because it was confusing me. And I'm like, no way. And straight away you think you need hair to have dandruff because that just seems like the obvious thing.
Mm.
I Googled it. Dandruff is caused by either too much or little oil being produced by the glands on your scalp. I know, it's disgusting. Anyway, so bald people have less chance of getting it. However, it's got to do with the dry white scales from the skin on your head. And obviously, there's still skin on your head when you're bald, so you can still get dandruff. Unbelievable. Mind blown.
All of that information is just going into my head. My dandruff-free head.
So the difference between us or me with long hair and someone with bald hair is it's easier for them to obviously cleanse and dry their scalp.
Yeah.
Therefore, it gets rid of all their dry skin cells. However, us with long hair, it's harder to get to our scalp because we've got so much hair. So it's easier for them to clean it, which lessens the chance. However, if you're a bald man that doesn't clean your hair or wash your scalp, there's a good chance you've got dandruff sitting on top of your noggin.
Okay.
Mind blown, team.
Yeah, mind blown a little bit. Do you know what? I've got a friend who's bald, and I only found out the other day, he shaves his head with a razor blade every day. Like a razor blade you use to shave your legs, he shaves his head with it every single day.
I tell you what, Ellie, look at my beard this morning. I had a shave yesterday. It's a bit of an effort shaving. Shaving your head, your beard, every single day is a huge effort.
Yeah.
Stuff
there you that. Go. Wow,
so, yeah, your friend. We should have got your friend on. He can get dandruff. There you go.
Oh, do you know what? I'll flick him a message now. Say, hey, buddy, how's the dandruff going this morning?
So if you've got a bald friend today, Golden Valley, if you are bald and you're listening, make sure you check your head and see if there's any white little flakes there.
Also,
because I want to put some in my cereal.
Go up and touch their head. How fun is it touching bald people's heads? I love it. It's like you can feel that all the like corners of their skull. It's great.
They're not some sort of alien.
No, I know. They're hot. We spoke about how hot I find our boss who's bald.
Yeah, he is. He's a good looking dude.
Anyway, well, let's move right on. Solving Life's Mysteries. If you've got any mysteries you need us to solve, get in touch. Hit GV on Instagram or hit Golden Valley on Facebook.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
How's this? I want to go over to China. Ellie, where a woman, how's this, has given birth to twins. Congratulations to her. Very exciting times in her life. But unfortunately, the twins are from two different dads.
Hold on. So there's one baby who has one dad and another baby who has another dad?
And they came out at the same time. They're twins. So they're obviously not identical because they both got the DNA from two different dudes. That's how her husband found out she was cheating on her. Unbelievable story.
How did he know though? Like you don't do a DNA test on your kids, do you? Like was one of them like of a different skin color?
No, one didn't turn out chocolate and the other one Chinese.
It's the only way I can think of like you to see these two babies born and be like, well, that one's not mine.
Well, there is that famous story of the girl that she cheated on her husband in America. You've heard this story on her hens, and she is a white American.
That's right.
And she had a stripper whose nickname was the Chocolate Thunder for obvious reasons. And she unfortunately slept with that stripper, and the baby came out like Chocolate Thunder, and the husband straight away knew that she'd been cheating.
Good dancer, though, the kids, so it all worked out well in the end.
The husband's a very similar story, actually. The husband goes, one of these twins looks nothing like me at all. And he confronted her and says, I want a DNA test on the kids. So scientists did a DNA test on the two twins. Turns out one has zero link to the dad. The other one has parts of him in it, of his DNA. That sounded a bit weird. How crazy is that?
That is, so the chances of that happening are so, so, so minute. It has to be the one night that they did it.
Yep.
So conception occurred for both babies on the same night.
Yep, you're right. I just messaged a friend who is a scientist, and she said that, yes, they would have had to be conceived in such a short amount of time apart from each other. So she admitted to having a one-night stand with the guy who obviously fertilized one, and I'm guessing she must have gone straight home and then slept with a husband and got pregnant to him at the same time, and then they've both fertilized the same egg somehow.
That is crazy. And
what are the chances? So crazy. That is, I'll tell you what, if you're out there cheating at the moment.
It's one hell of a way to get caught.
Oh, this is possibly the worst way to ever get caught and the weirdest as well. So, yeah, he's furious and they are no longer together.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's still worse for young Chocolate Thunder. Probably still. I'd probably prefer the other story to tell you the truth. At least the twins have got each other.
Well, she got fed to the dog, so I think it's a bit worse for her.
Yeah, good. Karma. That's what get.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
I want to tell this story about a guy called Chad. He's from Australia. It's not my best mate, Chad. It's another Chad. He's got a Tinder bio that has made everyone really mad. So first of all, before I read out what his says, what did you have on your Tinder bio? Because we all know that you met your boyfriend Gav on Tinder. It must have appealed to him. What did it say?
I don't remember it word for word, but I do remember spending hours crafting it. And it said something about me being like a straight up gangster who likes busting pops, but at the busting caps, sorry. But at the same time, I am like a Phoebe from Friends. I think it was like, I like to think I'm straight up gangster, but in real life, I'm more of a Phoebe from Friends. And then I said, P.S.
Left if I saw yours.
I said at the end, P.S. I drink beer, because I'd always go on Tinder dates and they'd expect me to want to like a wine or a champers or something. No. Give me a beer.
What about Grant? You're on After Us at 9 o'clock, like we just said. Mate, are you on Tinder or Grindr? What have you got on your bio?
I'm on both. I've deleted my Tinder account, but I think it's still active on there. On that one, I said something along the lines of, like, I like to wear shorts and a singlet and lay on the couch eating chocolate or something like that. Like, it was very I do nothing sort of type vibes.
Oh, yeah. So I'd swipe right on that.
Searching for the lazy men of the Goulburn Valley. Fair enough.
To be fair, I think with guys, we don't really read their bio. We just swipe depending on the pics.
100% agree with that. That is so true. And then the bio's at the last thing you read after you've seen the photos. Anyway, this is what Chad's done in his. He's done a list of musts. And so the girl must have a preferred hair color, preferred body type that he's asked for. He's also said they must be available at all times. They must be able to cook and clean. Call me anything I want. So he's asked for all this. He then goes to say to ensure no one who smokes, drinks, takes drugs, or earns less than $98,000 a year bothers him with their interest. Going as far to say that she's not allowed to hit the clubs or have any girls' nights either.
And then at the end, please tell me he's like, just kidding, if you're the opposite to all these things, hit me up. Because if that was the case, I would swipe right. That's gold.
His final line is, if you fit these criteria, swipe right. I will not settle for anything less. You want to see his rig, Ellie? I'll flip around my FaceTime screen and have a look at his body. Do you reckon he's worth being...
Does he have 7 children? Because that is a dad bod if I've ever seen one. That's gross.
I don't reckon,
Chad.
There's nothing gross this guy about a dad bod.
He's no bloody Brad Pitt with all those demands. Oh, okay, you can take the camera off it now. That's a lot of hair on that chest.
Yeah, back to me. You'd think the guy, as you said, he'd have to look like a Brad Pitt or a Zac Efron to be able to have those listed demands and for girls to actually swipe right at me. Otherwise, mate, check yourself. You're an absolute peanut.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Stories like these have done the rounds a couple of times in the past couple of years since Tinder was basically brought out. And I think, like, obviously, we have our opinions about him being a bad person, but at the same time, like, you don't have to swipe right.
He knows what he wants.
Exactly right. Everyone has a type. Most people just aren't as forward with it.
That's true. There's a lot of indecisive people out there. At least Chad knows exactly what he wants. You're right.
Exactly.
Nah, for me, Chad is bad and I'm mad. And I'm a poet and a gangster and I don't know. You know what I mean. God, see, if you need me to write Tinder bio, hit me up for sure.
Hey, we should do that as a segment. Let Josiah and Ellie write your Tinder bio.
Yes! Oh my God, I love it.
Grant, the difference is in the Goulburn Valley, though, every person you swipe right on, you've got about 50 mutual friends.
Yeah,
with them, so it sucks.
Very true.
This is
Are We Ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.